From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 4th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
If you had to find geospatial data for your next project, where would you start? Did you know that the federal government has a catalog of over 80,000 data sets arranged by themes or federal agency sources? Today we'll take a look at the latest installment of how the federal government exposes its vast resources of geospatial data. Geoplatform.gov is our topic, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is pleased to invite you to the 2014 Location Intelligence Conference, May 19th through the 21st. At the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. This is the 10th year of the event, which now includes the technology summits for users of Oracle Spatial, HERE, a Nokia business unit, and the Eclipse Foundation's Location Tech Working Group. This multi-track event is an excellent opportunity to network with colleagues on location analytics, open source technology, mobile location services, and geospatial big data. More information can be found at www.locationintelligence.net.
Adina, geoplatform.gov had its origins in the Deepwater Horizon spill disaster of 2010. It stood up to give stakeholders who were responsible for responding to the disaster a way to coordinate efforts and monitor its progress. In November 2010, Dr. Amy Merton from NOAA spoke at one of our Directions Magazine's conferences, the Rocket Sea Geospatial Conference, and she was one of the key individuals responsible for that portal, which really had its roots in the Environmental Resource Management Application, otherwise known as IRMA. And it was a common operational picture for the Deepwater incident. Now, since that time, as often happens, a grassroots effort that is successful becomes recognized and absorbed. And in the latest incarnation of geoplatform.gov, it's really grown to replace the original Geospatial One Stop and, to some degree, data.gov as the portal and repository for geospatial data that originates from federal agencies and hosts other data from state and local affiliates as well. Now, in this one, in this latest incarnation, it's led mostly by the Federal Geographic Data Committee, and geoplatform.gov is now the place to find over 80,000 data sets of what is described by them as the capability of providing shared and trusted geospatial data, services, and applications for use by the public and by government agencies and partners to meet their mission needs. And I also want to read some bulleted lists of what geoplatform.gov users will have access to. They'll have access to authoritative data, problem-solving applications and services, a shared cloud computing infrastructure, and a national and federal focal point for government, non-government, private, and public data. And it now incorporates what they're calling is a marketplace, which is a list of most accessed data sources. It also includes a feature map catalog, which has thumbnails of data and links to other agencies. And then finally, it has what they call A16 themes. Now, this is federal geospatial data portfolio themes related to the national geospatial data sets. This is things like land cover, elevation, transportation. So in short, it's another reorganization from the original concept of the geospatial one-stop portal, supposedly a first stop, if you will, of where to find geospatial information. And my observation is that it's a tremendous resource, if only people knew about it. And I think that's where some of the problem is. And it has the potential to serve us well. But as many such attempts, it's a work in progress. And I guess my first question to you is this a way to satisfy the need for common portal for government's geospatial information?
Let me go straight to language. Portal. Is this a portal? If it only had data, maybe I could call it a portal. But now it's going to have maps and applications and all this other stuff. So portal, I think back to a couple of years ago, I think it was James Fee had a a blog post that said, oh, geoplatform.gov, another portal to ignore. And I have to say, I had the same kind of feeling. Like, wow, they're trying to do this yet again, but now it's got more stuff and more bells and whistles, and I didn't know what it was for before, and I never used it before. So I have very mixed feelings about the whole term portal. I don't think they use the word portal, perhaps consciously, to try to suggest that this really is something different, something better. So that's one point. The other point is you talked about the marketplace. Forget geoportal.gov for a minute. What is a marketplace?
In general, the marketplace, yes. Online, collaboration point, download stuff, buy stuff.
When
I think of a marketplace, I think of buying stuff.
Right. And it's a place you might go. ESRI has a marketplace, right? That you can download apps. The important part of this marketplace, I think, is a part which, and we had this before with Geospatial One Stop, it's the place where you go to see if other people are going to be collecting the data that you think you might want to collect or that you need.
Yeah.
And that was so far as I can tell, didn't work very well in Geospatial One Stop. I'm not sure it's going to work any better here. And I don't know why you call it a marketplace.
I think it has this potential. Maybe it's just misnamed. If it is if the objective was to link the need of the federal agency with private companies who are there to acquire, then it should have been a place to conduct business and bid on contracts. I don't think it wants to be a place for bidding. And yet that's the way it seems to be set up to do. And I don't, if it's a marketplace to connect private corporations with federal agency needs, then it should have had a bidding mechanism or at least connection to Fed BizOps, a listing over the Fed BizOp opportunities for the companies to engage in contracting. But that's really not what it's for.
No, and yet, clearly there is a connection between the private sector and the public sector, as shown by the webinar that MAPS hosted just last week with Jerry Johnston, the GIO for the Department of Interior, for MAPS. And MAPS is a group of commercial companies, basically. So clearly that discussion must have happened because there is going to be a relationship there. Now, exactly how it plays out within this marketplace and within this hosted platform, geoplatform.gov, we'll have to see.
But the objective is good. I mean, the objective is, if you want to know what the need is within a federal agency about where they want to acquire data, then the private organizations ought to have visibility into the federal agency's need. And I think that's a great objective.
I don't think that's a bad objective. I think the really hard part, and this I think they have the same challenges with Geospatial One Stop, is how do we get those federal agencies to participate? Not only, get their data into data.gov, make it available, make it authoritative, follow whatever standards are required, and then share information about what they're thinking about doing down the road. That's a pretty big ask. And even if you put it into law that they must, there had been quite a bit of foot dragging, which is part of why Geospatial One Stop sort of got the reputation that it did. So I keep coming back to, how is this better/different than Geospatial One Stop? The biggest difference I see is, it's more about applications, it's built on ArcGIS with sort of a Drupal wrapper, and maybe it also has some hosting opportunities for agencies and others who want to host their geospatial data/applications on this platform for some kind of financial, we'll save money that way.
If you go back to the original concept that I outlined at the very beginning, what was geoplatform.gov? It was a place for stakeholders in one particular incident to find data, to understand what was happening in terms of mitigation efforts. It was a very specific need. It was very successful in that regard. It just seemed to me that in this iteration of the one-stop or data.gov, that the purpose got usurped for the broader mission by the FGDC. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad or right or wrong. I'm just saying that the original geoplatform.gov had a very specific mission. That sometimes is the way things become very successful. If I take the marketplace with its very specific objective of linking private and public needs, that could have been a separate portal marketplace. And I think that would have a lot of interest among people. If the objective is just to have a repository of government data, that's a different thing.
We call that data.gov.
Yeah, but and so this iteration is trying to combine all things to all objectives, and that's a grand vision. And again, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but if that's the vision, then you're really going to have to communicate all of the different sub portals or whatever they are very, very specifically, and identify what these areas under GeoPlatform, today's GeoPlatform.gov, is. And that's going to be a tough situation, a tough challenge, a tough marketing problem for these guys to accomplish.
Yes, and let me go back one. One of the reasons I think that GeoPlatform.gov now has this broad range of things it's trying to solve comes from the GAO and all the reports that have basically said, hey, look, got data duplication, you guys aren't working together, you're not doing geospatial very well, people. Get your act together. And this was part of the response to that, is, oh, no, but and here's our place where we're going to do all those things. Which, again, vision-wise, yeah, we all want to save money and not collect the same data more than once, absolutely. But as you point out, the broader that set of goals becomes, the harder it is to communicate what this thing is and who it's for. One of the things I keep coming back to every time I visit one of these government portals is, as much as we want this to be for the people, the technical people, the people in government, the people who are downloading the data and doing things with it and building the apps, and it's for the public, the more we do that, the less convinced I am that that is in fact the case. I try to visit the site with an open mind, and I'm not a geospatial professional. And now, first of all, why I would come here, I'm not sure. I mean, in the day of the spill in the Gulf, everybody was hitting that map because it was the map.
Right.
But the rest of what was going on behind the scenes, they didn't care about, as they shouldn't, as the public. Same thing here. What's going to happen with this, this is what should happen, is the public shouldn't know this thing exists. But if there is a flood or something where you have to get the data out to the public, somebody creates the map, creates the app, whatever you want, that thing gets embedded in FEMA's, you know, site or the state of Georgia or whoever's having the emergency, and multiple places, because it all taps back to that same place, which is basically, let's take advantage of ArcGIS online. And that in and of itself is not a bad thing, but we already have ArcGIS online, and do we need to have sort of another layer on top of that to enable it for all of these different goals? I think we're biting off too much, and the communication issue, as you suggested, is just going to be a huge headache.
You know, if you think about, again, going back to the original geoplatform.gov, the success was because there was an emergency. It seems like, as we all know, there's always going to be the next emergency. If this was a platform for the next emergency, then shouldn't it have also been, should this not become the place where other agencies can stand up a platform very, very quickly, disseminate information to the public in a timely manner? And it's just another platform for the next emergency, and also then becomes a catalog for historically referencing how things were done, how successful the information was communicated to the public, and how much of a resource it was for other agencies to acquire data, so that if there was a local response and something that had to be done on a very specific local level, this could be the place to get the data, stand up a portal, and get it out to the public. Again, I'm only trying to be constructively critical. I'm just trying to get to the what was the purpose here of this particular iteration. One of the things that you mentioned at Jerry Johnson's, I just want to bring up a few things. One of the reasons that he was giving for standing up this latest version of geoplatform.gov, number one, that a lot of it was specified by OMB Memorandum 1313, the plan for open data policy. Another one was that it was to organize content by communities, other federal agencies, other major data sets, again, like land cover and transportation. Of course, it was hard to find data because there were so many catalogs. So this was, again, going to be the catalog of catalogs, and that the need for maps was growing by other agencies. So there was a lot of good reasons for reorganizing the one-stop and to use GeoPlatform as the platform. Whether it's successful or not going forward, wish them a lot of luck, but it's going to be tough to accommodate all of these different needs in one place at one time. Well, that's all the time we have for today. And from us here at Directions Magazine, we've briefly extended our call for presentations to the 2014 Location Intelligence Summit until February 14th. Our summit this year will combine Directions Magazine's Location Intelligence Conference along with user group meetings from Oracle Spatial, HERE, a Nokia business, and the Eclipse Foundation's Location Tech Working Group. More details can be found at locationintelligence.net. If you'd like to leave a comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine, or send us a tweet at Directions Mag. Thanks again for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.